Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
And Dr. Christopher Schaberg, Dorothy Harrell Brown, Distinguished Professor of English, Director of Editing and Publishing, part of Loyola's Environment Program. He's also an opinion piece writer at Inside Higher Education. We have been talking about HyFlex, teaching online, teaching and learning in a world where, holy crap, anything goes. HyFlex, it's crazy. But, you know, Christopher, the piece, InsideHigherEducation.com, HyFlex teaching is the black mirror of higher education. What do you mean? What is black mirror? Give us, enlighten us.
Well, I've got to give one of my students full credit for that. My student Maria Alvarado said at the beginning of last semester when we were back in person, and it felt so good to be back in our little classroom. This was a 15 student, you know, advanced workshop, and these were a lot of students who knew one another but hadn't seen one another in person in 18 months. And she said, you know, I said something like, doesn't this feel good? Even though we're, you know, wearing masks and, you know, trying to be conscious of social distance. And she said, yeah, it's great, except it feels a little bit like a Black Mirror episode. Like it could go away at any point. And by which, you know, she meant that it could become HyFlex. It could be that like half the students weren't there because of, you know, contact tracing or COVID or we all weren't there and we're suddenly meeting online again. And it just got me thinking about how the idea of, you know, a situation that seemed, you know, it seemed like it was functional and it was working, but there was this kind of dark aspect to it that it could turn dystopian at any moment, or it already was baked into it. It's just that we hadn't quite felt it yet. So that was my student's, you know, idea, and I kind of ran with it. And I told her, Maria, I kind of used your term. And she said, oh, I feel bad because I've actually only seen like two episodes of that. I was like, yeah, but you're totally right.
No, it's there. But, you know, bringing that up, though, too, and we talk about this, you know, whether it's romantic or not, forget about HyFlex. What about face-to-face and just talking about, you know, I like how you try to help us remember and reclaim what it is about face-to-face that we get, you know, so those interactions in face-to-face. So, you know, yeah, in 2019, you weren't ever teaching online. Pandemic came up. Hey, you figured it out. HyFlex, let's, you know, hold on. Let's talk about student learning, students, and the reality of teaching and learning in a classroom again and the benefits of it. So, you know, and Johnny, this is great for you both. I mean, you know, what is it, if somebody said, what's the best attribute of teaching face-to-face? If you had to say the best and or top two things that makes face-to-face, maybe better is not the right word, but maybe more fulfilling.
I mean, one thing I always love to say is, you know, early on in the class when I'll ask a question and there will be an awkward silence and the students are looking around, and I'll let it play out for, you know, 30 seconds, and I'll be like, this is why we're here. You know, we're here to have awkward silences where we can look at each other and feel out, well, who's going to jump in? Who has something to say? Who maybe has something to say, but they're not quite ready to? Like, that's the stuff, you know? And the more we can kind of incubate that and let those experiences happen, that's like real social training that at least I have not found that. I've not found a way to replicate that in any kind of online or hybrid situation. So for me, one of the things is just like the lovely awkward silences where, you know, brains are actually growing and people are connecting.
Love that lovely awkward silence. Okay, Johnny Lupinacci, what about you?
Yeah, I gotta copy Chris a little bit, and it's that stuff that's not even spoken about, but there's a way that we relate when we're in the same place. And so for me, I mean, I guess it's probably a kind of style of teaching, right? Like everyone, if you like do martial arts, you have different styles, right? If you're a painter, you have different styles. But I think the sort of embodied teaching that I came up in that where I'm at in the room and how I'm physically in proximity to the learners. And I'm either sometimes sitting with them, I'm at level with them, or I'm behind them kind of in, like observing their conversations and just my location and movement around the room. It's an embodied pedagogy. It's intentional. And it's a flow like a dance. And I miss that. There's a different flow sitting. And sometimes I can stand and put on a little headset, like I'm doing like the bike coach guy that the people do when they exercise. But I mean, like really in classroom, we have a cadence and a flow to even our movement. And I miss that. And then selfishly, I even tried this before. Tim, you remember my old studio. I had a big whiteboard behind me, but I miss the boards. I miss taking it to the boards. I would have a bell, you know, hit the bell, take it to the boards. And we'd go there with all the markers and there'd always be like a big spread. And I just haven't found the way to teach and do that. It's all like prefab materials, or even when I'd go behind me to the board and do it, it was in a little box, right? And it just didn't have the same effect as being able, like Chris said, sit back in silence. Cause sometimes we would do that activity where just go to the board with the marker, no talking, just write what you're thinking and feeling, so we can engage in different ways. And so it might be just a lack of my translating the styles to online, but I haven't quite gotten there yet and I miss those things.
You know, the other thing that I was thinking about, Johnny, as you were talking, was we were talking about TED Talks and master classes earlier. And of course, those are often like, or sometimes they're like celebrities, you know, like these are like people who, you know, you pay big bucks to go see them give a TED Talk or whatever. And then maybe you see the YouTube version of it later. But it occurred to me that one of the things that my students really missed, and I hadn't really thought about it that much before, but like they missed being with like a character in class, like for their teacher to be a character and to perform. And I never really thought of myself as that, because I don't actually think I'm a great teacher. I feel like I'm always kind of imitating my best teachers and just always trying to like fumble toward some kind of something. But it struck me that my students, they want to be in proximity to, like in physical proximity to a character, to someone in the body, in the flesh who's teaching them. And so I think like if we use the analogy of a TED Talk or a masterclass, that means that teaching in person is even more valuable, because mm-hmm. what you really want to do is go be in the room with that person to feel their energy. And I'm not like, of course, not all instructors, you know, our magic is like dorky and weird and kind of like bizarre, but like in a way that's what they're paying for.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about this, man, I tell you what, going to see my favorite, you know, Rise Against music, the band, I'm sorry, watching them, their YouTube videos are cool, but man, front row Rise Against right. concert, my ears, is just nothing like that. And so, you know, and you've heard that from even artists when they talk about what they missed during the pandemic,
yep.
was that interchange, that exchange, the connection between the audience and the performer. And again, not that teaching is performance, but there is a part of that when we talk about true teaching and learning in that moment, in that space, in the, you know, flow mm-hmm. moment of teaching and learning. Man, it is something that as a teacher and a learner, everybody's on some form of a connection. And I think about that in some of the students who haven't had that chance maybe yet yeah. to even have that. So I'm concerned at this point of how many students are missing that opportunity to be in connection.
It's nothing that can be recorded. That's the other thing that gets me out of high flex. Like this isn't like, I can't record that lecture and it's like the students who aren't there or want to see it 12 hours later, they're not like, you can't record that. To me, it's like, it's a one-time thing. You know, it's like when students write and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed class. Did I miss anything important? Yeah. Like, what did I miss? It's like, well, you just missed the class. Like, it's cool. I understand. But like, you just missed the class. And like, there'll be another one, you know, hopefully. But to me, there's something about like the irreducibility of like, the class that can't ever be repeated or recorded. And yeah. I mean, how many of us have had one of those magic classes with a professor who just like blew our minds and changed the course of our life? Mm-hmm. That wasn't something that could be like canned and, you know, recorded or saved for later.
And that they do that for one another. And so,
yeah,
you know, that's the big thing we always talk about is the magic happens here in the discussion and the participation and the just bringing yourself, you know, we're probably similar. We come from similar teaching influences. So like, you're going to have weeks where you haven't read or you haven't done your homework or, you know, you're not as prepared. Just be here, because this is where the magic happens. This is where the questions get asked. This is where the conversations spark ideas, especially in things like advanced seminars and in sort of closer groups.
Yep.
Where that is where the learning is happening. And we just kind of facilitate it as, exactly. as instructors. We're still trying to figure out how to do that and high flex. Right. I've often wondered, maybe it's just me, if there's a good camera and it just records, it's something better than nothing. But then I'm with you. I'm like, I kind of don't think so. Then the next time the person comes back, it's more of a real life simulation of how our lives are going to work. You're not going to always be at everything. Your group kind of picks you back up, informs you and catches you back up. And that's how we ebb and flow as a community of learners or as a collaborative workspace, wherever we're going into our professional fields. It's not going to be anytime, all the time, wherever you need it, cue it up on your phone, pull it up. That's just not going to be how ingenuity, you know, creativity, compassion, empathy works. Right. So cultivate it when we're in spaces together. And so, I like the Black Mirrors metaphor, because it is like an episode where we're just in this loop where we're trying things and just missing it and missing it and missing it and missing it.
Well, and that fear of what is coming next, it's almost not a fear as much as it's more, we know if something happens, what next means. As you just said, Chris, referring to your 11-year-old, you know, and it's, you know what? It means out of the classroom, back to some form of synchronous learning. And so when you have that moment of students sitting there face to face, they're, even though they're masked, they're feeling that. But at the same time, even as we know that it's an Omicron, it's been incredible at making us feel like we're just always never sure. Is tomorrow the big breakout day where me, the administrator, communicates to you two, hey, stay home, we're fully online, right? And what does that do to you as faculty and me as a leader? That concerns me. And then what does that do to the student, you know, that said, man, I was just getting used to seeing you, Dr. Shaberg. This was so awesome. And now I got to see you on Zoom. I'm not going to get what...
I'm getting, yeah.
Good. Start.
No, I'm so sorry. I keep doing this.
It's your show, man.
I'm so excited about this. But, you know, it's also like they just got used to being back with their friends, you know, or they're, you know, they were clicking with two of the students across the room. And it was nothing I did. It was just that like they were making something happen there. And then that gets severed too. You know, I think that's one of the other problems of this mode of instruction is that even while it's, you know, it's flexible, it's very like democratic and, It accommodates so many different kinds of learners, but it also weirdly reinscribes this hierarchy of like top-down learning, that I'm the instructor who delivers my lesson or my modules or whatever, and the students, you know, sign on and receive it. That's not, I don't think that's really how learning works at its best. It's as Johnny says, a community, is a dynamic space and hopefully like a physical space where like brain waves are bouncing back and forth. And I think that's what, to me, we're in danger of losing sight of. Even when it like, we have these occasional models of like, whoa, that was a great lesson. And you can look, you can go watch the video and you can see the chat exploding. That's cool. Maybe that does happen every once in a while, but.
But not the same as.
Definitely not the same.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think about that, right? And that to say, put it back to the, you know, what is best for students, you know, and I think the other part, you just mentioned this, and a lot of times this doesn't get said, but, you know, the choice in a sense too, in higher education, right? If I choose an online program for the way I want to get my education, then cool. I made that decision. But, you know, particularly undergraduates who are making a decision in some form of residential higher education, they're choosing to go and be in front of you and Johnny.
Yeah, they're choosing a place.
Right. And so there's there is monetary value to that too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a thing that we get back into, and maybe it's taboo and I don't have the right language for it, but it's an apprenticeship. Right? Yeah. I think about like skilled trades, like teaching is a skilled trade, learning like a craft at that level, whether it's writing or whether it's, you know, carpentry or any of those pieces. We have to be able to learn from someone.
We have to be able to learn and say, Christopher Schaberg, man, we could go on and on and on. Thank you, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. Back after the break, Johnny and I will try to make sense of this.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, guys.